Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux, and today I am joined by Patrick Magnus, our second new host here, or co-host, over at Over the Monster, and he also writes at the Dynasty Guru. So, welcome, Patrick.
Hey, thanks, Jake. I'm happy to join you on another platform. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, so Patrick has worked over at the Dynasty Guru with me over there on a podcast, and we liked him so much we decided to bring him in here because Patrick is a Red Sox fan who is living in China. So Patrick, why don't you tell the folks a little bit about kind of yourself and how you got into your interest in baseball and the Red Sox and podcasting and all that good stuff.
Sure. So, lifelong Red Sox fan, and grew up in New England, obviously living in China now, like Jake mentioned, but I've been following the Sox my entire life, and man, you know, people say it's hard not to be romantic about baseball, and that's totally, I fall into that sort of cheesy line where I really fell in love with baseball at a young age. And I've just been following it obsessively since. I've been writing over at the Dynasty Guru now for about 2 years. Been taking quite an interest in the fantasy aspect of the game, but Sox will always be my team. And I'm very excited to talk Red Sox with you on a regular basis.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. We're really happy to have Patrick here, so let's just get right into it. On today's April 7th episode of The Red Seat, we are going to diagnose what exactly has been going wrong with the Red Sox by going position by position and looking at it that way. We're also going to start off with a little bit of housekeeping and some notes. So the first thing is that Brock Holt and Brian Johnson were placed on the injured list with a scratched cornea and some shoulder inflammation, respectively. The call-ups and replacing those guys are Su Wei Lin and Marcus Walden. I don't expect too much of a defensive lapse with Su Wei Lin. He's a really good defender. He's been hitting a little bit, so he actually should be an improvement. And then Marcus Walden actually pitched pretty well in the spring. So I think that's more of a just the sheer attrition that's been put on the Red Sox bullpen so far.
Yeah, is it weird that I'm like oddly excited about these two replacements? I love Su Wei Lin, and Marcus Walden generates a small bit of excitement from my heart. I like him, so yeah, I'm excited by both these call-ups.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I mean, we have to appreciate what Brian Johnson's been able to do for the team in the early going, but he's been used a lot more than I think anybody expected him to be used, and we're going to get into that when we talk about the rotation and what they've done or not done earlier in the year. But I agree with you. I'm excited about Su Wei Lin. He's always someone I like to watch when he comes up.
Yeah, he's got a bit with the bat, too. Like, I know he's known for his defense. His bat isn't terrible either. It's played relatively well, although more in the minors than the majors.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so the Red Sox are 2-8 entering play today. They're currently, as we're recording this, in the fourth inning of a scoreless game. This ties for their worst 10-game start of all time. Needless to say, Patrick, things are not going as we drew them up this early going. It sucked.
Yeah, it's not been great. You know, last year's team was probably the best, you know, it's like the best team I've watched for the Red Sox. And you just like that feeling of like going into a game and like knowing you were going to win, which was an odd feeling for, you know, even though we've had our fair share of championships, like still to watch and feel like you're going to win as a pessimistic Red Sox fan was, well, it's unusual. And now we're back to what is like feels more normal as a Red Sox fan to lose in such traumatic fashion a little bit. But it's a long game here. What are we, 10 games in, 11 games in? I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, 10.5 as we record this right now. So we're going to go position by position, and we're going to talk about how players have performed at each position and whether or not they are the cause or the reason for you to worry. And we're going to start in the field, and we're going to start at the catcher position. So the first person we want to talk about is Christian Vasquez. He's batting 176 on the year, hasn't been great. Blake Swihart's also been playing catcher. Swihart's batting 500 on the year and has delivered positive defensive value too. So that's a big, huge plus for him. I personally don't think this is the reason why the Red Sox are struggling, is their performance at catcher. Sure, we'd like Vasquez to be better, but Swihart has been great over the 6 games he's appeared in. And more importantly for Swihart, he's starting to get some development time and actually get some regular PT. So I am not happy with the performance from catcher, but I'm really encouraged by what I saw from Swihart.
Yeah, I mostly agree with you. I mean, Swihart, the big like draw for catcher. Like, I'm really interested to see what he's capable of doing with you know, a good share of playing time. And Vasquez, I mean, he's Vasquez. He's not good with the bat. He's just never going to be great with the bat. And so the positive here is for me is Swihart for sure. I mean, batting 500. A bomb the other day on his birthday. It was wonderful. So, yeah, I can't say that catcher is the reason behind the recent struggles.
Yeah, I agree. We got a couple listener questions about the struggles at catcher, and one came from Chris Balf, and he says, are we allowed to ask if No Sandy is having an impact on the starting pitching, or will smart baseball people shame us into not talking about it? Do you feel like not having Sandy has had any impact on the struggles of the starters so far? Or do you feel like this is squarely on the shoulders of the starting pitching?
It's on the shoulders of the starting pitching. I don't necessarily believe that Leon had that much of an impact. I know that the starters would differ. I know he was beloved, but for his defensive skills, but no, I put this on the pitchers.
Yeah, I'm with you. We also got a question from JJ the Jet, and he says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you regret the Vasquez extension he got 2 years ago? Do you regret that Vasquez extension at all?
Oh, no, because we won a World Series. I don't regret it. And Vasquez is like, I love the way that Vasquez like carries himself on the field. I know that's silly to say, but I really do. Like he has like this sort of ownership behind the plate that you look at the catcher. So I don't regret the extension. No, and obviously like the catching in Boston is something that has needed to sort itself out. With you know Swihart eventually becoming sort of the force behind the plate. So we'll see. But no, I do not regret it.
Yeah, and it's also a fairly small money extension, too. So it's not like the team really extended itself here and has this huge albatross of a contract. So, yeah, I don't regret it either. And I definitely don't think catcher is the reason why the team's struggling. So moving on to first base. First base, we have Mitch Moreland, who has had a slash line this year of 259, 375, 593. He's been fantastic. Steve Pierce just came off the DL. I don't think we can complain about anything that Mitch Moreland has done, and this tandem is surprising me by playing pretty well.
Yeah, Mitch Moreland has been, you know, he's reached expectations. He's a doubles machine, gets on base, decent defense, and you know these two are going to be, you know, they're going to combine forces to make a really good first baseman. So it's definitely not the place to place blame.
Yeah, certainly not. Moving on to second base, though, this has been an absolute horror show. Eduardo Nunez, he is currently batting 185, 185, 222. Holt has a slash line of 063, 211, 063. Oh, holy shit, Patrick. This is just god-awful. Nunez already has a fielding error. Pedroia can't come back soon enough. This unit is certainly one of the biggest reasons why the Red Sox suck so far this year. This is terrible.
Nuni playing second base on a regular basis is just not meant to be. He's a mess out there. He, you know, you mentioned that he already has a fielding error, and like, I'm surprised he doesn't have to. Like, he's just, you can't play him at second base on a daily basis.
No, and Holt being worse than him so far with the bat is surprising too. I mean, Holt's got less playing time, but man, it has just been a nightmare out there. And it's encouraging that Dustin Pedroia played 9 innings the other day in the minor leagues, and he had a couple hits too. So, I mean, even if you can get Pedroia back in there half the time or three quarters of the time, that's going to be a huge boost to this team, because I feel like a diminished Pedroia, even with a diminished bat and diminished defense, is going to be a massive upgrade over either of these two.
Has Pedroia played back-to-back games yet?
I'm not sure if he has.
Yeah, because that's going to be the big tell, I think, for his knees and what he's capable of. It's not that if he can make it through one game, but if he can make it through back-to-back games. Just the stress of the season on those knees is something that's pretty concerning to me. But I do agree that, you know, whatever's left of Pedroia out there is going to be something to watch and an improvement over this terrible trash mess that has occupied second base so far.
Yeah, I'd like to bulldoze what we've had at second base and get rid of it. Shortstop, though.
Agreed.
the newly minted Xander Bogaerts in his fresh deal. Xander has hit 250, 368, 438 on the season. I feel like we could use a little bit more power from Xander, but he seems like hardly the reason why the team is struggling so far.
Yeah, agreed. He's doing Bogaerts things, and he's getting, like, the batting average is a little low right now, but that'll come up, and the power will come. It's still April.
Yeah, yeah. He sometimes starts off a little slow. Third base. This one I was a little surprised at. As many of you guys know, I cover the Red Sox every day for Locked On. And so every day I do a podcast, and I hadn't noticed, even from covering the team daily, that Rafael Devers had been struggling so much. He's got a slash line on the season of 243, 317, 297. He's already got two errors on the year. We have talked about those a good bit on Locked On. FanGraphs, though, says he hasn't been a negative defender on defense, but this simply isn't good enough for a guy who you're relying on a key offensive contribution from at the hot corner.
Yeah, he has struggled so far. I mean, even like after his hot spring, you were sort of hoping that was going to carry over the momentum from spring into the regular season, but it just hasn't. And a lot of it is like there hasn't been a lot of thump from his bat. I mean, 97 slugging is right? I mean, that's not good.
I mean, that's not what you need from him. I mean, he's a big, beefy boy. He needs to have that slugging percentage in the high fours, low fives. I mean, that's what you expect from the hot corner.
Yeah, and I mean, come on, baby Devers. Let's get it together over there at third base.
He's got to stop being a bonehead over there. For every great play we see from him, it seems like we see two that are kind of stupid, so I'm hoping that this will be the year he figures it out.
He's working on it. Give him another full season over at third base there. He's still growing, but I'm more concerned about the offense from him. He just flails pitching sometimes. He'll swing at anything. It's pretty concerning.
Yeah, certainly not going to be long for that top of the lineup, that's for sure.
Right.
Right field, Mookie Betts. So far on the season, Mookie is batting .262, .333, .476 with a 120 WRC+. Certainly hasn't been the Mookie of last year, but also not someone you can count on as an issue right now. He's got 5 extra base hits on the year, including 3 doubles and 2 home runs. What are your thoughts so far on what you've seen from Mookie?
He looks like Mookie Betts. It's April. He's warm and like, yeah, sure. It's not the Mookie Betts of last year so far, but definitely somebody that the team can still count on. And he's not the issue right now for this team for the struggles.
Yeah, I agree with you. Certainly not somebody you can point to. The next guy, however, man, Jackie Bradley Jr. Ding, ding, ding. We found our dude right here. JBJ is batting 171, 194, 200 with a 0 home run so far. With 0 home runs so far and his walk rate of just 2.8%. He's striking out more than 30% of the time. This is all substantially worse than his career norms. And he's been worth negative 0.2 WAR so far, according to Fangraphs. Jackie Bradley Jr. has been a big steamy dump in center field so far. It's just been awful.
Yeah, he has been terrible. And like, you were hoping, like, after the spring, you know, of course he teased us again with another great spring. And then there was the narrative of the JD Martinez, like, swing, helping swing and working things out. And you thought, oh man, JBJ is going to have himself one hell of a 2019. Not so far. So far, he's been looking like that streaky JBJ of old.
You know, I even apologized for this like one pot ago and ate crow about how I treated JBJ last year when everybody was talking about his exit velo and how great it was and how, you know, it spelled positive things for his future. And I even drafted him on like 5 of my teams this year. And now I'm just like, what was I doing admitting I was wrong about this guy? I clearly haven't seen any real change. Like, this sucks. I am most surprised about this than I am anything else. Like, if you told me Devers was going to struggle, sure, he's still young. If you told me that second base was going to suck with Nunez and Holt, yep, like, that's fine. Expected that. But I did not expect center field to be this bad with Jackie. He's in one of his cold, cold streaks. He looks awful. And we've seen no evidence of a different approach. In fact, we've seen a worse approach than he's ever had before. I'm trying not to overreact because we're talking about a 10-game sample size. He does have a hit today so far as we're recording the podcast. But, man, I am not buying that there are any real changes going on right now. It's really hard to see those. I feel like they need to just give him, like, a few days off and just tell him to go in the cage and, like, figure his shit out because this is not going to work.
I'm with you for the most part. I think I'm a little more hopeful on how the season plays out for JBJ. I am one of those people that was sort of buying into his sort of like peripherals in the season here, thinking that he could have a more positive 2019. So I'm still holding out hope. I don't own him on any teams, luckily. So maybe I'm not being quite as burned by him as you are, but yeah, no, we need to see some more positive things. I think a couple days off in cage would do him well.
Yeah, clear that head. Left field, Andrew Benintendi. So far on the year, Benny has batted 270, 333, 378. He's only got 3 extra base hits so far. 0 of them are home runs. The power hasn't showed up, kind of like Bogart's. But it's hard to classify him as a real problem so far, and I think we all expect him to perform quite a bit better. So I guess he's, like, partially an issue, but I'm not sure if I'd really count him as one.
I mean, 270, 333, 378. The 378 is a little bit lower than you'd like, but he's having good at-bats right now. And he's getting on base, and, like, I'm not worried about Benintendi at all, and I don't consider him a huge negative yet.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you there. DH, JD Martinez so far has started off right where he left off. JD has a line of 359, 419, 590 with 3 bombs on the season. He's actually on pace to better his weighted runs created plus of 170 from last year. He's currently sitting at 191. He is surely not the problem.
Dude is a robot. That's what he is. He's a hitting machine. He's a robot. He's a Terminator. He destroys space.
Yeah, he's very good. He's the best. It's hard to imagine where the Red Sox would be without his positive contributions. They'd probably have zero wins at this point. So it's really good to have JD Martinez on your team.
Yeah.
Bullpen. Everybody was scared to death about this bullpen heading into the year. But over 36.1 innings pitched so far, the bullpen has put up a 4.21 ERA. They're striking out 10.4 guys per nine while walking a hair under 3 per nine. This is a ton of innings so far. It's tied for seventh in the MLB in usage. But I'm super encouraged. The bullpen has been awesome, and I think that this ERA is even a little bit deceptive because they've thrown so many innings. Their late-inning guys have been really good, and guys like Brian Johnson have come in and thrown a shitload of innings early on because of how bad the starters have been. So they've really been hung out to dry a little bit, and they're still putting up respectable numbers.
It's true. They've been a lot better than I thought. Brewer has been a nice addition bullpen as well. I'm hopeful. I'm still nervous. Like when that game is handed over to the bullpen, I'm still a little nervous. Like I still like when it comes down, like yesterday's game, I felt like the Red Sox had that in the bag, but I was a little nervous with the bullpen coming out, like a game between the bullpens. I thought, I can't quite trust this Red Sox bullpen yet. You know, I know they've been great, but I'm still a little hesitant.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, when you look at the names on paper, you trust Barnes, you trust Brazier, you might trust Brewer by this point now. I don't think he's done quite enough to really trust him, but I think that he's looked good. No one really trusts Hembree. We know what Hembree is. Velasquez, who's pitching the game right now, has been awesome for the team as an innings eater. Brian Johnson's been awesome as an innings eater. Thornburg's velocity has been really good, but he hasn't looked quite like, you know, we want him to. Certainly not like 2016 Thornburg. So there are still a lot of reasons to be skeptical about the bullpen, but you can't complain with how they've actually pitched to this point.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I agree with you. That the K per nine is quite impressive too from that staff. That's great.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, let's get to the last and the big giant whale in the room, the starting rotation. Here it is, people. We have found the single biggest reason why this team has been hot garbage this year. It's the starting pitching. The team is currently 12th in innings in the major leagues with 46.1 innings from their starters, but they are worst in the MLB in starter ERA at 9.13. 9.13 ERA. This is the worst in the MLB by 2.56 earned runs. This is disgusting. Their K-minus walk rate is third in baseball, third worst in baseball. Their whip is 1.96. This is a unit that was universally hailed to be the strength of the team, and everybody counted them as either a top 5 or a top 10 rotation in the game, and they've come out and pitched this team out of contention in the early going. I mean, they're the single biggest reason why this team's in a hole. What the hell is going on, Patrick?
Part of me is really one, you know, you just mentioned Diaz is pitching a decent game, right? Well, what did he do this? He pitched a ton. Like, I felt like every spring training game I put on, he was pitching. The rest of the starters not done. They haven't pitched. Like, they did not get the same amount of innings as they usually do in spring training. And, like, I get that this idea of, like, starters back to have them, you know, well-rested and ready for the rest of the year, it's not looking like a great strategy. It's looking like maybe that's a stupid strategy to hold your starters back like this, because they're coming out and it's ugly for like part of the team that's supposed to be a real strength is terrible.
Yeah, and one of our listeners, Dan Allen, asked us this question. He said, how much of the starting pitcher's struggles do you blame on the lack of spring training reps? And I think I agree with you and Dan here that this is a huge problem. This is probably the single biggest reason we can look to say why this unit hasn't performed so far. And I think Matt Collins brought this up when we were on Locked On Red Sox together this past week, that really you can't judge whether or not this was a good strategy until, like, you know, late in the year. Like, see how this unit is throwing in August. But if the team is in such a hole by the time August comes around that there's no shot at you making the postseason, well, then clearly it wasn't a good strategy. So the starters are going to have to begin to right the ship within, I don't know, at least by May, they're going to have to start righting the ship, or else this is not going to work.
Yeah, something's got to change. I'm hoping May is like, let's start in April. Let's get it together now, because like there has to be a change. Yeah, the offense can't overcome a lot of these, like, and the long ball has been a huge problem so far too, right? Like the fastballs, like the pitching just looks flawed, and you know there's no greater example of that than Chris Sale, obviously, and sort of what's going on with him. But I mean, but he hasn't even been the worst of the, like, he at least pitched a decent game last time out, you know, whereas comparison to our boy Rick Porcello, who I totally agree with you. I wanted to tell you this, Jake. I totally have the same feelings for Porcello that you do.
Oh.
When he's on, he's my favorite pitcher in baseball. And I think that two seamer into left-handers is my favorite pitch easily. So wanted you to know that, but but he gave up like what, 6 runs the other day?
7, in fact.
Yeah. So yeah. I can love him all I want, but if you're giving up 7 runs, you're not giving the team a chance to win.
Yeah, and I think you said something that is really indicative of another reason why this team has struggled. It's the home runs. They've given up 16 home runs this year, the Red Sox starters, which is the most in baseball by 5. The Diamondbacks are second with 11 home runs given up. So, I mean, they're just letting people tee off on them. Nothing's where it's supposed to be. Nothing's got the velocity. Nothing's got the movement that it's supposed to. There's just a whole lot wrong with this right now. So we're going to have to see where this goes, and kind of if the Red Sox starters can right the ship. But, yeah, it's ugly, and I think that we know kind of why it's ugly. I've assigned the blame list, Patrick, and I want to see whether or not you agree with my order for the blame list. So for me, the number one reason is the rotation. The number two reason for me is Jackie Bradley Jr. The number three reason for me is Rafael Devers. And the number four reason for this grand historic suckery is second base. Where would you put it?
Rotation is a clear number one. Then with you on Jackie Bradley Jr., I swap second base and Devers, just because second base has been such a cold, abysmal, dark place in that Red Sox lineup.
Yeah, and I think you could easily envision third base turning around sometime soon. I think it's harder to envision second base being a plus for this team at any point this year.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah. All right, so I also wanted to talk about an article that came out today on MLB.com by Sarah Langs, and it was Worst 10-Game Starts by Defending Champions. All right, so here is how other 10-game starts have gone for other World Series champs and how they finished. The 1998 Marlins started 1-9. They finished 54-108. But this was after they tore down and literally traded their entire team. They traded Kevin Brown, Gary Sheffield, Al Leiter, Rob Nen, Jeff Conine, Edgar Renteria, Bobby Bonilla, Charles Johnson. Basically, that wasn't the same team. So I don't really think that is a good comparison for this Red Sox team.
No, it's not, because we have the Red Sox have come back with essentially the same roster from last year. I mean, I think Brewer might be the only difference, and Leon's gone.
Yeah, it's basically two guys in the bullpen who are the difference. They don't have Kimbrel and Kelly. So,
yep.
Yeah, that's certainly not a good comparison. The 1984 Orioles started 2-8, same as the Red Sox. They finished 85-77. The 1964 Dodgers started 2-8. They finished 80-82. And the 1947 Cardinals started 2-8 and finished 89-65. So essentially, the three teams that came back and actually, you know, brought back most of their team for the next year still finished around, you know, above 500 if you take all three in aggregate. So I don't think that the Red Sox are going to have a disastrous season. I still think that they can climb themselves back into playoff contention, but I think that there's real reason to worry that this early, these early struggles might keep them from that 95, 96, 97 win level that we kind of expected out of them coming into the year.
Yeah, looking at these previous results makes me a lot more nervous, to be honest with you. I had really sort of dismissed these early season struggles as something not to worry about, you know, considering the amount of games that are going to be played. But it's interesting historically that teams have come back and they have not reached that 90 win mark, although the 1947 Cardinals sure came close at 89. But yeah, and you know, nowadays, how competitive the AL East is, you've got to get at least 90 wins.
Yeah, you certainly do, especially with how the Rays are playing and how good that Yankees lineup is. In her same article, though, she does bring up the worst 10-game starts by eventual World Series champs. In the 91, Twins started with the identical record of the Red Sox, 2-8. They finished 95-67, won the World Series. The 77 Yankees started with the same record, finished 162, and won the World Series. The 1935 Tigers did the same thing, 93-58, won the World Series. And lastly, the 1914 Braves started 2-8 and finished 94-59, winning the World Series. So it's not impossible. However, the Red Sox have done everything they possibly can to make this as hard as they could in this early going.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. Do you think that the Rays can win the AL at least?
Oh, yeah, I totally do. I love the Rays roster. I think that they have constructed a really effective bullpen. I think their starting pitching is certainly good enough, and I like the addition of Snell and, well, not the addition of Snell, but how good Snell has emerged to be. Glass now has been pitching excellent. Yonny Chirinos has been awesome. The back end of that bullpen's great, and their hitters are really good, and they've got so much youth coming up that I think that there's just not a lot that team needs to do externally to improve. I think they'll be able to improve internally as the year goes on as well. So I like the Rays quite a bit, especially with, you know, the start for the Red Sox and Yankees. I think that could be the difference right there that puts them in the driver's seat for the division.
Yeah, and with the Red Sox, you know, we can hope and pray that things are going to, like, even out, you know, that the team can't be this bad. You know, it's the same team from last year, essentially, this bad. The Yankees, however, have a lot of injuries, and that's going to take a toll on them for a while. So the Red Sox need to take advantage of that by turning the ship around right now.
Yeah, and maybe that's the only decent thing you can point to in this early going, is that the Yankees have been almost as bad as the Red Sox have. So yeah, that's about all you can point to. But it's clearly the Rays division to lose at this point.
Yeah, agreed.
So let's get to some listener questions. We're going to buzz through a bunch of these because mostly it's just you guys complaining at us. But, you know, respectfully, and we appreciate it. First question or complaint comes from Costa. And he says, why is Eduardo Nunez? Patrick, why is Eduardo Nunez?
Oh, he just is. He's just Eduardo Nunez. Come on, you can't be mad at him. Remember that pinch hit home run from the playoffs? Come on, you can't be mad at him. Let it go.
Yeah, I'm with you. Michelle Berthium says, is it okay to cry? Yes, it sure is, Michelle. We will be your shoulder to cry on throughout the entire year. So just let it out. I've been letting it out all week.
Agreed.
Next one comes from Derek. He says, why can't we score more runs than the other team by the time the game has been completed? Well, we already told you. It's the starters, goddammit.
Yep, you've got your answer. This episode answered that question for you as a whole.
It certainly did. Next one comes from Cape Ann Hero 79. WTF, Sox. Indeed.
These questions really, they channeled the, like, the real spirit of the team right now.
Oh, we have the best listeners in the history of sports. This, it just lets you know that you're still in New England when you hear these questions. The collective psyche of Red Sox fans is very broken right now. Our next one is from Connor, and he says, why do we remain Red Sox fans? Well, because you have a DVD of what we did last year, hopefully in your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These past few, this past, like, I don't know, 15 years haven't been so bad, really. So remember that.
Yeah. They've been quite good. Next one comes from Anthony Campigato, and he says, what needs to be done to at least not lose a series? Like, what the hell? I don't know.
Well, don't give up the long would be a start. Maybe go a game without giving up a home run. That would be great.
Maybe pitch Hector Velasquez every day because he seems to be the only one capable of pitching.
Something I would have never entertained preseason.
Yeah, I certainly never expected to say that.
Yeah.
Cilantro Daddy 69 says, why do bad things happen to good people?
I don't think we can answer that question on this podcast.
No, we need a lot more scotch to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Next one comes from Ian McDonald. I like this one. Looking at it a little bit positive, Ian says, what day will JD set the Red Sox single season home run record? That is 54 home runs held by David Ortiz. When will he break that this year?
Not. Sorry to be negative, but I can't do that.
Man, I really thought we were gonna get something nice there, and then Patrick had to crush it for us. Yeah, he's probably not gonna do it, but I'm just gonna say he's gonna do it by mid-August, and we're all gonna be psyched. And his offensive barrage is gonna lead us to back to 97 wins, and we're all gonna forget this ever happened. So yeah, wishful thinking, Ian. Next one comes from Rich B, and he says, what did we do to displease the baseball gods? Patrick, you seem to displease the baseball gods often with the way your fantasy teams finish, so tell us, what did we do?
Wow, burn. using the baseball gods as being, I guess, maybe a little too bold in your, or having too much swag, so maybe it's a... Maybe it's a World Series hangover. Do you buy into that sort of narrative at all, Jake, that it could be a World Series kind of hangover thing going on with them?
Maybe. It's hard to say. I think it's maybe a World Series. Dave didn't beef up the bullpen enough, so we had to throw our starters in the World Series like every other day. So, yeah, maybe that's a thing that you should address, Dave. Not that you've ever heard that before at any of your past jobs that you don't know how to build a bullpen, but you know, you're hearing it here from us for the first time.
And Craig Kimbrell is still a free agent.
Yeah, not that that concerns us at all, because we know where we stand on that.
No, definitely.
Josh Knight has our next question. He says, what has man done to make God punish us so?
These questions, they're so good. Again, I'm not sure we can answer that question on this particular podcast.
I mean, think about some of the awful things we've done, though. Like popcorn-flavored jelly beans and... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
I don't know. What else? Not having a four-day work week in the United States. There's a lot of stuff we've done to make God punish us. So most of reality TV.
It's true.
Yeah. Country
all
music.
Of, pretty much all of reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of reasons. And I think I'd be able to list a few more if it wasn't 5 in the morning in China right now.
Honey Glazed Hamby has our next question. Great handle, by the way. He says, what happened to good baseball? Still in 2018, bud.
Just if you look really hard, you can find some good baseball there. Yeah. Some good baseball.
Watch the Rays. The next one comes from Dan Allen. Oh, nope, we already took yours. Sorry, Dan. Vegas, baby. Which of you bastards sold all our wins this year for last year's playoffs? I blame Brian Joyner for this. Solely Brian Joyner. So
I can jump on board and blaming him. Sure, yeah. I'm in.
It's at yep, it's Brian definitely Joyner. His fault. Brian with a Y, Joyner with at an Brian. I. Yeah, get at him. Last one here comes from George Moroff, and he says, how do we stop sucking? Patrick, this one's for you. You're an expert.
Yeah, so to no longer suck, what we need to do is the baseball. Throw the baseball over the plate in a way that doesn't give up home runs. There, that's my solution to how to stop sucking.
Okay.
How's that?
I like it. I buy it. And I'm into it, and I think that Patrick's on to something. So with that, Patrick, we are going to end the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure you rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. We would like that. We've gotten a ton of 5-star reviews from you guys. We appreciate that. It makes us feel really fuzzy and warm inside. Tell the new guy, Patrick, what you think of him too, and give him a boost of confidence because Patrick did a good job. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so. You can follow me at @DevJake. You can follow Patrick at @TheGreenMagnus. And you can follow the Over the Monster account at @OverTheMonster. Thanks for tuning in, and we will be with you at the same time next week.